Okay, hallelujah. Well, I'm looking forward to this study. And let's just open in prayer. Elvino Mokaina, our Father, King, Father, we thank you for your glorious word. We thank you, Father, that you are revealing wondrous things from your Torah. We thank you for our living Torah, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Redeemer. We thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge as we study your word, that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened, and that we will know the hope of our calling and what the riches are and the glory of the saints in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Okay, as I was studying this, the Ruach, based on the first verse, just led me to do, we're going to be doing a special study. Again, we're still looking at the life of Avraham, and let's just go to the first slide here. Genesis 18, 1 and 2. Then Adonai appeared to him at Mamre's large trees while he was sitting in the entrance of the tent during the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes to see, suddenly three men were standing right by him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the heavenly ground. So here we see Avraham receiving a heavenly visitation. And was Avraham aware of who they really were? He knew one thing, they were not from the area, but offered them his hospitality because this was the type of man he was. So again, as I was preparing this study, the Ruach just laid it on my heart to really focus on the ministry of angels in our lives as believers and all through the Bible. So we'll be looking at this, again, part of this Torah portion for the next 3 weeks, because I believe it's an important teaching to understand. I just want to share, let's see, the introduction. Actually, the notes I'm sharing from are Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, who is a Messianic Jewish rabbi and teacher. He's a really excellent teacher. And so we're going to be looking at, regarding the study of angels, who are they? What are they called to do? Again, in the study for the next 3 weeks, because the Ruach really brought my attention to this. And so many times we don't really understand their full ministry as far as their heavenly calling and in the lives of believers. So this Messianic Bible study is a study on the angels of God. That is, on what the Bible teaches about good angels, those angels who do not fall. Again, we're not going to focus on the fallen angels or demonology. This is what's known as angelology, which is the study of the elect good angels. There are three main divisions of angelology. First, angelology proper, which is the doctrine of unfallen angels. That's what we're focusing on. Secondly, Satanology, which is a doctrine of Satan. And third, demonology, which is a doctrine of fallen angels. This study is not concerned with either Satanology or demonology, but only the angelology proper or the doctrine of unfallen angels. Oh, yeah. And I think my cat wanted to get outside the door. So let me just open the door a minute. Okay. So there are a number of wrong views regarding angels. For instance, it has been taught that angels are merely transient emanations from God or permanent emanations from God. It has been taught that angels are glorified human beings. That is, when a believer dies and goes to heaven, he becomes an angel. Again, these are wrong assumptions. Among unbelievers, a common teaching is that angels do not exist. They believe that Yeshua mentioned angels just to accommodate himself to the popular thinking of his day, but that he himself knew better. Again, these are wrong assumptions and views. Unfallen angels are given two specific titles in scripture. They are called the elect angels, 1 Timothy 5:21. And again, as we go through this study and these notes, we're going to be looking at all of these scriptures as well in the as we go through it, which means they were elected not to fall and have been confirmed in their holiness. After God created Adam and Hava, he subjected them to a test in the garden to see if they would obey or disobey, again regarding Adam and Hava. In the same way, after God created the angels, he then subjected them to a test to see if they would be obedient or disobedient. One third of the angels chose to be disobedient to God and followed HaSatan in his fall. Those angels became demons. But two thirds of the angels chose not to follow HaSatan, and they have been confirmed in their holiness. Confirmed holiness means is that they are no longer capable of falling. The period of testing and probation is over, and they are no longer capable of sinning. When believers receive their resurrection bodies, they will also be confirmed in their holiness and in their resurrection bodies. They will not be capable of sinning either. God himself has always been confirmed in his holiness. He is incapable of sinning. These unfallen angels are no longer capable of sinning, so they are called elect angels. The second title for fallen angels is holy angels, to contrast them with fallen angels who are wicked and unholy. So what we're going to be looking at in this study, again, we're going to be looking at the existence of angels and names of angels today, and then through the next few weeks, the creation of angels, the number of angels, the abode sphere and appearance of angels, the personality of angels, the nature of angels, the organization of angels, the works of angels, and last, the destiny of angels. So I think this is going to be a really great study for us. And I'm looking forward to, again, just really digging into the word on this. Hallelujah. So again, this is actually the first mention of angels actually interacting with man. The first mention is Genesis 3:24, where we see God place a cherub, which was really, it was an angelic being, but they were like a guardian, a guard. And we're going to look more in detail of these different levels of angels and what they're called to do. But here we see in the Torah, Vayera, the angels, again, coming down. And we know that one of those angels was Yeshua himself, and which most Bible scholars, you know, agree with that as well. So does the Bible really teach that angels exist? Angels are mentioned in scripture 273 times. In 33 of the 66 books, which means that half of the books of the Bible mention angels. In the Tanakh, angels are mentioned 108 times in 18 books, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and Zechariah. It should be noted in the Tanakh, angels are not only mentioned in the apocalyptic type books, but also in the prophetical, historical, and poetical books. We see too, the closer we get to Yeshua's return in the end times, we'll see that there's been increased activity of angels on the earth. Now, I personally have never seen an angel, but I don't have to see an angel to know that angels exist. My faith is because the Bible says they do exist. Have I felt their presence? Absolutely. I mean, I could name, just share a few times before I was married, my experience, and then after we were married, how we felt the presence of his angels in our lives. It actually protected us. One example is when I was probably about 12, 13 years old. I'd fallen down the steps one time, hit my chest, and the air was knocked right out of me. And then a while later, second time, I was a little older, falling down those same steps into the basement, which was a cement slab. And I cried out to God, God, save me. And I literally felt a hand on my back yank me and sit me down on the steps. You know, so again, I felt, again, that angelic protection. Another time, our son, he was very sick. We were praying for him. I don't know if he had the flu or he was just very sick at the time. And he was in bed sleeping. And when he got up in the morning, he went to Minister Scott and he said, "Dad," he said, "there was a tall man standing at the end of my bed watching me." And, Minister Scott said, "Were you afraid?" He said, "No." So, I mean, we knew it was God's angels watching over him and protecting him. And again, the Ruach allowed him to see his angel. And I believe that was the only time. And then another time where we felt their protection was just a few years ago when we were at an intersection and I was getting ready to make a left-hand turn. The light was yellow. There wasn't any traffic coming on. So as I was making that turn, all of a sudden this car comes out of nowhere, speeding through the intersection. And we literally, felt the car like being pulled away from its path. And once I made the turn, I was like, wow. We knew that that was God's angels watching over us and protecting us. So yes, we believe that they are real. They are here doing God's business. They are here to make sure that his word, goes forth. Again, it says they hearken to the word of Yahweh Elohim. And we're going to again look at this, what the scriptures say about them, not what TV, how TV presents them, because TV presents them, in the majority of time, totally wrong. In the New Testament, angels are mentioned a total of 165 times in 15 books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 1 and 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation. As with the Tanakh, all types of New Testament literature mention the existence of angels. It is obvious that scripture clearly teaches the existence of angels. From the first book, Genesis or Bereshit, to the last book, Revelation or Hitgalut, angels are not only mentioned in the older primitive books or ancient books, but also in the latter books. The mention of angels is scattered throughout the scripture. In other words, the mention of angels is not peculiar to just one author, nor it is peculiar to visionary authors only. So again, we see that the angels of Yahweh Elohim have a great job to do here on earth, but we want to have the correct understanding of what the scriptures say about them. Furthermore, Yeshua himself clearly taught the existence of angels and referred to them in every gospel. Matthew 13, 39. Again, this is a parable he was teaching. The enemy who sowed them is the devil or HaSatan. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So here we see the reapers are angels at the end days. And we'll see more. It seems that their activity is, again, they are more active in the end time than any other time. Matthew 13, 41. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness or Torahlessness. Matthew 13, 49. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the righteous. So here you see some of the jobs that the angels will be doing. Mark 12, 25. For when they rise up from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Luke 12, 8 and 9. Now I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be not denied before the angels of God. John 1, 51. And he said, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man." So here we see again the confirming the operation of angels in the Tanakh and the apostolic scriptures. The Bible uses several names for these celestial beings. The first name is the most common one used, angel. The word for angel in both Hebrew and Greek means the same thing, a messenger. And it is used for as human messengers and also divine messengers. When it is used of a divine messenger, it refers to an angel. This name emphasizes the office and function. The office is that of a messenger, and the function is that of service. The term angel is the general term used for all celestial beings, and it is used for both lower and higher celestial beings. But the most common reference is the lower celestial beings. It is descriptive of title of an office and function of serving. So we want to look at these scriptures mentioned as well, so we can see how they're used in scripture. And I'm going to pull up the screen here. Okay, first is Genesis 32, and I'm going to use a New American Standard, but I'm going to kind of go back and forth from the Complete Jewish Tree of Life so you can see how different translations translate certain words. Okay, Genesis 32, beginning with, let's see. Beginning with verse 1. Now, this is in regarding human messengers. Now, as Jacob went his way, the angels of God met him. So here you see the mention of angels of God. Complete Jewish Bible. Again, it's actually verse 2 in the Hebrew scriptures. Yaakov went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And then verse 4, Yaakov sent messengers. That's again, referring to human messengers, but angels are, again, heavenly messengers. So here we see that Yaakov had an encounter with the angels of Yahweh. And then Hebrews 1:7. Again, this is a study of angels, so we're going to study what the Word of God says. New American Standard. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. And then let's see what the Tree of Life says. And regarding the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds again and his servants a flame of fire. So I want to go back down to go back to the notes. So a second name they refer to as the sons of God. This is strictly a Tanakh name. The Hebrew is B'nai Elohim. Again, B'nai, son, Elohim, God, sons of God. In the Tanakh, the term sons of God is always plural and refers to angels. So let's look at those verses. Genesis 6:2, or Bereshit. Then the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they choose. Now, again, this is regarding the fallen angels. And again, this is regarding the Nephilim, and I already taught on this, so we're not going to get into a discussion on that, but that's how, again, they were referred to, because prior to their fall, they were sons of Yahweh Elohim until they fell. And then verse 4, again, speaks of the Nephilim were on the earth those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they bore children to them. They were mighty men of old, men of renown. Again, this is referring to, again, the falling angels, falling spirits. I believe that the only way they could have interacted this way with humans was if they actually possessed a man to do this, but that's a whole nother discussion that we talked about, so we're not going to go there. Okay, next is Job 1:6. This is just showing how this Hebrew word, again, for angels, B'nai Elohim, is used. Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, again, referring to angels, B'nai Elohim, came to present themselves before the Lord, and HaSatan also came among them. The Complete Jewish Bible, I just want to look at how that. It happened one day that the sons of God came to serve Adonai, and among them came the adversary, or Hebrew, again, HaSatan. And that's the title, his the adversary HaSatan. And then Job 2:1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. So here we see he still had access to heaven, even though that was no longer his abode, and only because God had allowed it. 38:7, when the morning stars came together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Again, referring to the angels, the complete Jewish Bible, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So again, angels worship. Okay, a third name is the sons of the mighty, or the sons of the mighty ones. Okay, again, this is referring to the Hebrew sons of God. This isn't referring to Yeshua. Yeshua is referred to in the Tanakh as the angel of Yahweh, that was a pre-incarnate Yeshua. This, in this context, this Hebrew is referring to what the angels were referred to as sons of B'nai, again, B'nai Elohim. A third name is the sons of the mighty, or the sons of the mighty one. This is similar to the sons of God, because God is the mighty one. So let's look at those two verses. Psalm 29:1. The New American Standard. And ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, complete Jewish Bible. Give Adonai his due, you who are godly, give Adonai his due, glory and strength. So here he has a little bit different rendition of that translation. Then 89:6, that's why I looking at different translations, but you still have to go by the original Hebrew. 89:6, complete Jewish Bible. For who in the skies can compare with Adonai? Which of the gods can rival Adonai? And then the New American Standard, 89:6. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? So again, that term, sons of the mighty, is another name that refers to his angels. And then the fourth name, I'm not going to flip back and forth to this one screen here. I'm just going to read the line. The fourth name is that of the holy ones. I mean, you've got the notes, so you can follow the notes, which emphasizes their unfallen state as opposed to the angels who fell and became demons. Again, we see that in 89:5 and verse 7. The heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. And then verse 7, a God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are surround him. And then Daniel 4:13. Again, in Hebrew, the meaning of the word is always based on the context, because in Hebrew word can have several meanings, but it's based on the context and how it is used. Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. I was looking in the visions in my mind, and as I laid on behead, behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. We'll look at the tree of life. These are the visions in my head while I was on my bed. And I looked, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was enormous. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong verse. Sorry. Verse 13. Let's see. Actually, it's 14 in the tree of life. The sentence is by decree of the watchers. Actually, the watchers is another name we'll see for angels. This verdict by the command of the holy ones, referring to angels, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the realm of man and bestows it on whomever he wishes and may set over them even as the lowliest man. Then again, a fifth name is Watcher, which we saw in, again, Daniel. He uses both of those terms. Verse 14 in the Hebrew translation, again, he speaks of watchers. And verse 17, or actually 18, where is it? Let's see. Okay, they don't. Trying to find here, they've got 4:13 and verse 17. Let me look at New American Standard. They don't use the term watchers in the Tree of Life. Let's see what this says. 17. Yeah, verse, and this is New American Standard, says, this sentence is by decree of the angelic watchers. Again, angelic was italicized. It means it was added in to give greater understanding of who the watchers were. So again, this is speaking of the angels. Again, the holy ones. It was another word used for them. The sixth name is watchmen, which also emphasizes their function of observation being carried out. Watchman also carries the concept of guarding. These are watchmen in that they are watching over a situation as guardians. Isaiah 62 verse 6. Let me get up here. 62 verse 6. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night. They will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. So again, these are speaking of angelic watchmen over Jerusalem. The seventh name is spirits, for angels are spiritual beings. We see that in Hebrews 1:14. Again, we're focusing on the unfallen angels, the holy angels. Okay, 1:14. Are they not ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And let's see, a complete Jewish Bible. Aren't they all merely spirits who serve, sent out to help those whom God will deliver? Again, that word salvation means deliverance as well. And let's look at the Tree of Life. Are they not all ministering spirits set out for service to those to inherit salvation? So again, angels are assigned to, again, his people who are to inherit salvation. Again, those who have faith in Messiah Yeshua. And eventually, as the word says, all of Israel will be saved. Again, during that end time scenario, they will realize that Yeshua is the Messiah, their Messiah. Let me just pull back up the screen here just so we can go to the next screen. Okay, we saw that six is watchmen, the seventh is spirits, the eighth name is stars, with the exception of Numbers 24:17. Whenever the word star is used symbolically, it is always a symbol for an angel. So again, let's look at these scriptures. Job 38:7, or Job. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God or Elohim shouted for joy. Again, this is Yahweh actually answering Job, talking with him about the situation. Let's begin with verse 1, because this is a powerful set of scriptures. Then Adonai answered Job out of the whirlwind. He said, who is this who darkens counsel with words without knowledge? Again, rebuking his friends who are giving him bad advice. Now gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you will inform me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who sets its dimensions, if you know, or who stretched a line over it? On what were its foundations set, and who laid its cornerstones? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So again, morning stars is again a symbolic term for angels. Then let's go to Revelation 1:20. And here we see they're going to be very active during the 7 years of, again, tribulation upon the earth. I mean, they're active now, but they have specific jobs to do. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, again, this is Yeshua speaking, and the seven golden menorot, the seven stars are the angels of Messiah's seven communities, and seven menorahs are the seven communities. And then 9:1, then the fifth angel trumpeted, and I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to earth. The key to the bottomless pit was given to him. Again, the key was given to this angel, and referring to, again, this star that fell to earth, which I believe is referring to HaSatan. And then 12:4 in Revelation, his tail sweeps away a third of the stars of heaven. Again, this is referring to the third of the angels that fell and rebelled with HaSatan. It hurled them to the earth. Now the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that whenever she gave birth, he might devour her child. So again, here we see that term stars is referring to angels. Let's just go back into the PowerPoint. A ninth is, I'm just going to read all of these and we'll go into the verse, the scriptures for each of these. A ninth name is ministers. This emphasizes the fact that angels are ministers of God or Yahweh Elohim, carrying out his will. Again, they don't answer to our beck and will. They answer to Yahweh's will. A tenth name for angels is host, an English translation of the Hebrew word that means army. The host comprises the heavenly army of, again, God or Yahweh Elohim. This is why Yahweh Elohim is often referred to as Jehovah or Yahweh of hosts, or the Lord of hosts, for he is the Lord of this angelic army. An 11th name for angels is chariots. Again, we're going to look at these verses, emphasizing their speed in carrying out the will of the Lord or Yahweh. The 12th name for angels is Elohim, a word that means God. It is used of the one true God and also many false gods. It is used also of angels because angels are the representatives of God and have God's delegated authority to speak his name. Again, depending on the context of the word, you understand the usage. Because they speak authority in Yahweh Elohim's name, they are referred to as Elohim. This is seen by comparing 8:5 in Hebrews 2:7. So let's look at these verses. Okay, first, I'm going to find my place here now. Okay, name, they're referred to as ministers. Psalm 103:21. I'll pull up the New American Standard first, and I'll flip over to the Tree of Life. Psalm 103:21. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. again, host is also translated as armies. Let's look at Tree of Life. Bless Adonai, all you his armies, his servants who do his will. Again, referring to the angels of Yahweh Elohim. And then Psalm 104:4. I'll go New American Standard first. 104, verse 4. Okay, he makes the winds his messengers, or also ministers, flaming fire, the flaming fire his ministers. Okay, I'm sorry, messengers would refer to the, again, the angels, again, flaming fire his ministers, referring to that the angels serve Yahweh as his ministers. And then Hebrews 1:7. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. And then the 10th name is angels is host. And that is regarding to, again, a word that means army. And you'll see that how some translations actually do use army and some use hosts. First Kings, let's see, First Kings 22:19. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more. Let's see where we begin with. Make sure I'm look. First Kings 22:19. No, that's. Okay, for he is the Lord of the angelic army. 1 Kings 22:19. Sorry, I was looking at these scriptures before and I can't find what I'm looking for now. Okay, we'll skip that one. We'll come back to it later. Because it doesn't seem to, I don't see the term I'm looking for. Ah, there it is. Okay, 19. Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and his left. Complete Jewish Bible, I think, uses the term army. And that would be, Micaiah continued, therefore, hear the word of Adonai. I saw Adonai sitting on his throne with the whole army of heaven standing by him on his right and left. So again, they are referred to as, depending on the translation, host or army. I believe the correct translation would be army. And then Psalm 103. And 21, go back to the New American Standard. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. So here we see that the angels, again, perform his word and obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you who serve him in doing his will. Then the complete Jewish Bible translates it as verse 20, bless Adonai, you angels of his, you mighty warriors who obey his word and who carry out his orders. Bless Adonai, all his troops, which would be the same as army, who serve him and do what he wants. So look what the Tree of Life translates it. The Tree of Life uses the term army. Bless Adonai, all you his armies, his servants who do his will. So, and that's why it's good to check different translations, because you get a clearer understanding as well of the word. And then Psalm 148, verse 2, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his armies. Again, that's Tree of Life, and I believe, New American Standard refers to them as hosts. So when you see hosts, it's the same as the word army. So the angels, these are Yahweh's, again, army. These are his messengers who go, again, heeding and doing his word. An 11th name for angels is chariots, emphasizing their speed in carrying out the will of the Lord. Second Kings 6:16. Okay, let's start with the New American Standard. Let's begin with verse 8. All right, let's see. Yeah, we'll begin with verse 8 so we can see this whole context here. Now, the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, "In such and such place shall be my camp." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there." The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, again speaking of this, the king of Aram, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So again, in the natural, his attendant or servant, saw this mass of army coming against them and was in fear. But what happened? Verse 16. So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." It was true back then, and it's still true today. Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord, or Yahweh, opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So here we see that Elisha prayed that his servant would see that there was a greater army of Yahweh on their side than what was happening in, again, the natural. And they did not have to fear. Why? Because Yahweh's army was there to support them. I love that scripture. Again, I love Elijah and studying the anointing that was upon him. Psalm 68, 17. The New American Standard. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. A complete Jewish Bible. Again, chariots is an idiom for angels. God's chariots are myriads, repeated thousands. Adonai is among them as in Sinai in holiness. So again, this is referring to Yahweh's angels. And then Zechariah 6, 1 to 8. Look at New American Standard first. Now I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming forth from between two mountains, and the mountains were bronze mountains. So again, this is a vision he's having of, in the heavenly realm. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot, black horses, and with the third chariot, white horses, and with the fourth chariot, strong, dappled horses. Then I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Again, the Lord was just a title of respect he was giving to this angel. And the angel replied to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth, which one, which with one of them were black horses are going forth to the north country. The white ones go forth after them, while the dappled ones go forth to the south country. When the strong ones went out, they were eager to go patrol the earth." And he said, and Yahweh, "Go patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me and spoke to me, saying, See, those who are going to the land of the north have appeased my wrath in the land of the north. So here we see again the emphasizing their speed in carrying out the will of Yahweh Elohim. Again, even now, I mean, maybe we can't see it in the natural, but there is, again, heavenly activity going on in the heavenlies. There is spiritual warfare going on. That's why our intercession is so important. And as we go through, again, this section of Vayera, and we're looking at Avraham's intercession, we're going to be looking a little more detail at the power of intercession that he has given us as believers in Messiah Yeshua. Again, as we are interceding, the angels of Yahweh Elohim are listening to the word of Yahweh Elohim, and they are doing battle in the heavenly. So again, there's, you know, the battles you see here in the natural are a result of battles that are going on in the heavenlies. Let's go back to the PowerPoint. Okay, so how many angels are there? There are several passages of scripture that gives hints concerning the number of angels. Deuteronomy 33:2 mentions 10,000s of angels. 2 Kings 6:17, a whole mountain, we just read those scriptures, full of angels. Psalm 68:17, 20,000 angels plus thousands upon thousands. Daniel 7:19, thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Matthew 26:53, 12 legions of angels. A legion consisted of 3,000 to 6,000 individuals. Luke 2:13, a multitude of the heavenly host. And Revelation 5:11, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The best answer as to how many angels there are is the one given in Hebrews 12:22, an innumerable host of angels. So how many are there? They are innumerable. And again, they outnumber the fallen angels 2 to 1. Okay, so they are the majority. Again, we in our lives, I mean, our as believers, as we are, you know, walking in obedience to his word, and, you know, I believe even before we actually came to know Messiah, people that were praying for us, you know, his angels were there really protecting us. I mean, if you look back at your life before Messiah, you know, I'm sure we all can have testimonies. I know I do, and Ms. Minister Scott do, that, I mean, we could have been dead in some of the situations we placed ourselves, but because of people praying for us, in my situation was my grandmother, we were being protected. Why? Because God, again, we had a purpose in our life, and God saw our heart, that our heart really wanted to know the truth, and God was there protecting us, even though we were unaware of it. Again, I look back and I know I had to been protected. So where do angels abide? The angelic abode is heaven. That is where they live, according to Matthew 18:10. Refers to in heaven, their angels. So let's look at these in full context. Let me just go back to the scriptures here. I like reading scriptures in context. Matthew 18:10, a little bit, Tree of Life. Again, this is the parable of the lost sheep. So here he says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father in heaven. So here we see that, you know, angels assigned to, again, the little ones, to children. And where is their abode? In heaven. 24:36. Again, referring to the return of Yeshua, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor of the Son, except the Father alone. So here we see the angels, their place of abode, their origin is that of the heavenlies, heaven. Mark 12:25. Again, referring to we had read this in before, but for when they rise up from the dead, they neither marry nor are given to angels and given in marriage, referring to the us that are resurrected, but they are like angels in heaven. Again, that there is among the resurrected believers, there is no giving in marriage. There will be for those who survive the tribulation, that there will be again people be children being birthed, so forth, during the millennial reign of Messiah. Mark 13:32. Again, same scripture, same thing referring to Yeshua's return. But of that day or no hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, again, regarding where they abode, their heavenly abode. And Luke 22:43, basically the same thing, Luke 22:43. Okay, this is a different one. Okay. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him regarding Yeshua. At the Mount of Olives, again, during his time of prayer before his betrayal, we see that an angel came, again, to strengthen him. Hallelujah. And then Galatians 1:8. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should announce any good news to you other than what we have proclaimed to you, let that person be cursed. Again, a true angel from heaven isn't going to announce anything but the truth of the word. But it says HaSatan can appear as an angel of light. And that's where people have been deceived. And you see the birth of these cults and all this, these other false religions. Again, because not knowing the word, they listen to, again, the lies of these angels of lights, which are not holy angels of Yahweh Elohim, because holy angels of Yahweh Elohim are never going to speak anything but the word of Yahweh Elohim that he gives them. Okay, then 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Let's go up in context. Let's start with verse 5. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is right in the sight of God to pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and relief to you who suffer trouble along with us. At the revelation or revealing the returning of Lord Yeshua from heaven, with his mighty angels. So we see that angels are going to be accompanying Yeshua from heaven. And it's actually, again, a vision I had when I was really younger, was of, again, Yeshua's return surrounded by, again, thousands upon thousands of angels, as well as those of us who will be returning with him. And then Jude 6, verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their position of authority, again, this is regarding the fallen angels, but deserted their proper place, he is kept in everlasting shackles under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So there are a group, again, of angels that are a certain group. I don't know if they, maybe these are the angels who, again, were trying to intermingle with humans. But again, it says that he has kept them in everlasting shackles under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So this is referring to the fallen angels, okay, not the heavenly holy angels. Again, Jude 6, angels had a proper habitation, and that habitation was heaven. Throughout the scriptures, they are referred to as the hosts of heaven or army. And obviously, the angelic abode is heaven. So let's go back to, let me go back to the notes here. The angelic sphere, okay, we're looking at the abode of angels. Again, this is Arnold Fruchtenbaum, Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, means their area of operation. While they live in heaven, they operate in more than just one sphere of heaven. Again, we see that all through scriptures, how they Yahweh sends them to heaven to minister his people, to bring messages from Yahweh Elohim to his people. While they live in heaven, again, they operate in more than just one sphere of heaven. They operate in two other spheres. One sphere is in the heavens, again, Ephesians 3:10. Heavens is what is now normally referred to as outer space or the second heaven. Okay, the first heaven is referred to the atmosphere around the earth, and then the second heaven is regarding beyond that atmosphere. The second sphere of operation is the earth. Angels are God's ministers to accomplish his will on the earth. As a result, they have special ministries and functions on the earth. Some examples of the special control on earth include Revelation 8:1-2, which mentions the seven angels that stand before God in heaven. And we read those verses. When they blow a trumpet, great physical things will happen on earth. And we'll look at these scriptures after I want to read this first. Revelation 14:8 speaks of the angel who has the power over fire. Revelation 16:5 speaks of the angel who has power over the waters. And all these verses show that the second sphere of angels is the earth. So while they do have a function in their abode in heaven, the third heaven, their sphere is not limited to heaven. Again, they are sent forth from Yahweh, again, on assignments, and they're actually doing warfare in, again, the second sphere of heaven. They also operate in the sphere of outer space and in the sphere of earth. And outer space is that is what is beyond the atmosphere of earth. So let's look at these scriptures here. Okay, first Revelation 8:1-2. Let's begin with verse 1. Now when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden incense burner. He was given much incense to offer up along with the prayers of all the Kedoshim upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of incense with the prayers of the Kedoshim rose before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the incense burner and filled it with the fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were clashes of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightnings and earthquakes. Then Revelation 14:8. Let's begin with verse 6. And then I saw another angel flying high in the sky, having a timeless message of good news to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship the one who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water." Another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink of the wine of the fury of her immorality." And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he shall also drink the wine of God's or Yahweh's fury, poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone before the holy angels and before the Lamb. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. Those who worship the beast, its image, and those who receive the mark of his name have no rest day or night. And here is the perseverance of the Kedoshim, those who keep the commandments of Yahweh Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, how fortunate are the dead, those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Ruach, that they may rest from their labors, from their deeds that follow them. So here we see in the and again during the tribulation, the three angels again bringing forth again three specific warnings and messages from heaven. Revelation 16:5. Then I heard the angel of the water saying, "Righteous are you, the Holy One, who is and who was, because you have passed these judgments." So again, here's referring to, again, the angel of waters. Okay, so I just want to read. Okay, I already read that. So let's go back to the notes here. Okay, the next we're going to look at the appearance of angels. The third area to discuss is the appearance of angels. The scriptures contain records of angels appearing to people. Concerning the appearance of angels, three things should be mentioned. Number one, their visibility. First, the means of visibility. There were three main ways angels appeared. Sometimes they appeared in a dream, as was true of Jacob when he saw the angels. Again, referring to Jacob's ladder, he saw the angels ascending and descending from heaven. Genesis 28:12. A second way angels appeared to humans was in visions. So we got dreams and we have visions. A vision opened up and certain people saw angels in these visions, such as Daniel and Zechariah. We read those verses where it was a vision they had. And the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. A third and more common way angels become visible was by simple appearance, by suddenly manifesting themselves, just as angels appeared at the tomb of Yeshua. Again, when they do, it's for a very specific purpose and only at, again, the command of Yahweh Elohim. Their form. The second thing about the appearance of angels is their form. Angels always appear, we're going to look at these scriptures, as young men. Nowhere in scriptures do angels appear in the form of women, children, such as cupids or old men. Again, you see, you're in the program, touched by an angel. Again, the angel was a woman. Or you see pictures of, you know, little chubby children, angels. Again, these are, or cupids, you know, these are, again, are not scriptural. Again, they're always in the male gender. So let's look at these verses. Genesis 18 or Bereshit 18, 1 and 2, which is what we started out with. Then Adonai appeared to him at Mamre's large trees while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. When he, Avraham, lifted up his eyes to see, suddenly three men were standing right by him. Again, this was a heavenly visitation, and the majority believe that the third was Yeshua himself. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. So he saw them, again, as men. He didn't recognize them at that time as angels. Then he said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by your servant." So here we see a physical manifestation of these angels. Verse 16, then the men got up from there and looked down over Sodom. Avraham was walking with them to send them off. And then verse 22, then the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Avraham was still standing before Adonai. So right there, we see that that third angel, we refer to the angel of Adonai, was actually the pre-incarnate Yeshua. Genesis 19:1-22. Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening while Lot was still sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. So here he's still seeing them and is, you know, as men. Then he said, "Here, please, my Lord, please turn aside to your servant's house, spend the night and wash your feet. Then you can get up early and go your way." But they said, "No, we will spend the night in the open plaza." But he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and they came into the house. He prepared a feast for them and baked a matzot, and they ate. Again, it was very common custom in the Near East to, again, to welcome and to entertain strangers and to be hospitable to them. Verse 4, they had not yet lain down when the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, from youth to elderly, all the people without exception. And they called out to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have relations with them." So here you see the reason, the perversion of Sodom, that they were destroyed. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind them. And he said, "Please, my brothers, don't act wickedly. Look, I have two daughters who haven't been intimate with a man. Please let me bring them out to you. Do to them whatever is good in your eyes. However, do nothing to these men, since they came under the protection of my roof." "Get out of the way," they said. And they said, "This one came as an outsider and dares to judge. Now we'll treat you worse than them." So they strongly pressed against the man, Lot, and moved in to close to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Again, we're speaking to the angels. Then they struck the men at the doorway of the house with blindness, from youth to elderly, so they gave up trying to find the doorway. Hallelujah. So here we see that supernatural protection. Again, the angels striking these attackers blind so they could not touch Lot in them. Let's go on here. Let's see. Verse 12. No, I don't want the ad verse. Okay, verse 13. Verse 12. Then the men said to Lot, "Who else related to you is still here? A son-in-law, your sons, and your daughters, whoever else is related to you in the city, bring them out of this place. For we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before Adonai that Adonai has sent us to destroy it." So here we see where they came from. Adonai sent these angels. It only took two to come and bring, again, destruction to Sodom. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were going to marry his daughters. "Get up," he said, "get out of this place, or Adonai is about to destroy this city." But in the eyes of his sons-in-law, he was like a joker. So when morning dawned, the angels rushed Lot. Now we see, again, their identity revealed. They're referred to as the angels rushed Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you will be swept away with the city's iniquity." But he hesitated, so the men grabbed his hand, his wife's hand, and his two daughters' hands because of Adonai's compassion for him, and brought them out and left them outside the city. When they brought them outside, one said, "Flee for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stop anywhere in the surrounding areas. Escape to the hills, or else you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lord, please. Look, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have magnified your merciful loyalty, which you have shown me by letting me live. But I can't escape to the hill country, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Lord, please, this city is close enough to flee there, and it's little. Please let me escape there. Isn't it small? Let me live." So he said, "Behold, I will grant your request concerning this matter too, not to demolish the city which you have spoken. Hurry, flee to safety there, because I cannot do anything until you arrive there." This is why the town is named Zoar. So here we see again, we see two angels, and again, most believe that it was Yeshua himself being sent to deliver, again, to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and deliver Lot, probably because of the prayers of Abraham, which we'll look at when we're through going through these studies. Let's see, Mark 16:5. Let's see. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were startled. Again, that young man was an angel. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Yeshua of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him." So again, we see again the angel. They saw this angel, and he appeared as a young man. Luke 24:4. And while they were perplexed about this, again regarding the, let's begin with verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, at daybreak, the women came to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, and when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Yeshua. And while they were perplexed about it, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. So here they actually saw these angels again as men. They were able to actually see them. Acts 1, 10 to 11. Again, this is at Yeshua's ascension. While they were staring into heaven, who the disciples, as he went up, Yeshua, suddenly two men stood with them in white clothing. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you keep standing here staring into heaven? This Yeshua who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So here we see again the manifestation of these angels that these, again, men of God, the disciples, including, again, Lot, saw, and the women of God. Let's go back to, and again, it's at Yahweh's will. Again, their effect. The third thing about the appearance of angels is their effect, or the effect they have upon people. The main effect of the appearance of angels caused fear. So let's look at these scriptures. And I'm sure we would shake a little bit in our boots as well. Okay. Daniel 10, 4 to 9. Especially if you've never seen an angel before. Now on the 24th day of the first month, while I was beside the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like yellow jasper, his face like a flash of lightning, his eyes like fiery torches, his arms and his feet like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words were like a roar of a multitude. Only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men that were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, such a great terror fell upon them that they fled and hid themselves. So again, these men didn't see them, but they felt the presence of them, and great terror fell upon them, and they ran away and hid. So I was left alone to see the great vision. My strength, whoops. Sorry about that. I lost, actually knocked out of the scripture. Okay. My strength drained from me and my vigor was destroyed. I could not summon my strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. When I heard him speaking, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, "Daniel, highly valued man, carefully consider the words I am speaking to you. Stand up, for now I have been sent to you." When he spoke this word to me, I stood trembling. I'm going on because we're going to see who this angel is. Verse 11, he said to me, "Daniel," again, verse 12, sorry. Then he said to me, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. For the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia resisted me for 21 days. But behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I had been detained there with the kings of Persia." So here we see again, a picture of the heavenly warfare. It wasn't that God didn't hear his prayers. There was spiritual warfare in the heavenlies between and has Satan's forces and the heavenly angels. But again, they came through. But again, there was a spiritual warfare going on. And actually, this verse reveals to you, again, the warfare that goes on in the heavenly. So again, when we're praying and interceding, we cannot, you know, lose faith, because it seems like, well, how come my prayers aren't being answered? What's going on? Again, there are warfares in the heavenly, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And greater are his angels. Again, they outnumber, again, the demonic forces. But again, we see that there was warfare going on, and that Michael had to come and help this one particular angel that Yahweh had sent. And then Matthew 28, or Matiyahu. Verses 2 to 6. I'll begin verse 1. Now, after Shabbat, as it began to dawn, the first day of the week, Miriam of Magdala and the other Miriam came to look at the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of Adonai descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And those keeping watch were shaken for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Yeshua who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come here and see where he was lying." And then Luke 1, 11 to 12. An angel, this is speaking of, again, Zechariah, who was Yochanan the immerser's father. An angel of Adonai appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. So Zechariah was doing his service, again, in the temple. It was his turn to offer the prayers. Zechariah was in turmoil when he saw the angel, and fear fell upon him. Again, he probably thought, oh no, there, you know, there's some sin where I didn't come before the throne correctly. But here it's an angelic vision. But the angel said, again, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to your son, and you will name him John or Yochanan. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before Adonai. He should not drink wine and intoxicating beverage." Again, this was what a Nazarite vow we see in Numbers. This is actually his whole life that he was walked in this vow, not drinking wine or intoxicating beverage, but he was filled with the Ruach HaKodesh just out of his mother's womb. Hallelujah. So here you see, again, Zacharias, again, in fear, because, again, if you didn't go be into the presence of Yahweh correctly, yes, you could die, but that wasn't the reason. Zechariah was there himself before the throne of Yahweh to receive this special message regarding the birth of Yochanan, the forerunner of Messiah. And then 26 to 30, then in the sixth month, this is regarding the visitation to Miriam. Then in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by Adonai into the town of Galilee named Nazareth, and to the virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Miriam. And coming to her, the angel said, "Shalom, favored one, Adonai is with you." But at the message, she was perplexed and kept wondering what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel spoke to her, "Do not be afraid, Miriam, for you have found favor with Yahweh Elohim." So here, you know, it doesn't say, you know, she was in fear, but she was probably not realizing what's going on here. But we see always the angel speaking, you know, shalom, peace, don't be afraid, do not fear. Let's go back to the notes here. Again, going back now to the Torah portion regarding Avraham, and he sat. In these verses, we have a delightful picture of genuine and ancient Near East hospitality. A venerable father sits at the tent door, not only to enjoy the current of refreshing air, but that if he saw any weary and exhausted travelers, he might invite them to rest and refresh themselves during the heat of the day. And the same custom still continues in the East. Again, now we're going back to, again, the Torah portion. It was not the custom, nor is there any necessity for strangers to knock at the door or to speak first, but to stand till they were invited. So again, this was an ancient Near East custom of hospitality. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for in doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Again, we see that in the case of Avraham and Lot. 3 John 1:5, loved ones, you are acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brethren and especially for strangers. So again, this is hospitality. Again, was a very, you know, common Middle Eastern tradition. And also here in Hebrews saying, you know, just like Avraham didn't realize that he was, until later, that he was entertaining angels unaware, but it was just, again, the type of man he was. He was a very hospitable man, generous man. Again, now going with back to the Torah portion, Genesis 18 or Bereshit 18:3. Then he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought so you can wash your feet and make yourself comfortable under the tree. Again, we see that tradition of washing guests' feet in the New Testament as well. And let me bring a bit of bread so you can refresh yourselves. Then you can pass on since you have passed by your servant. They said, do just as you have said. So again, Avraham still isn't aware of who they are. So Avraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, knead 3 measures of fine flour and prepare bread loaves. Then to the herd, Avraham ran and took a young ox, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who prepared it quickly. So here too, he chose his best to offer these strangers. Then he took butter and milk and the young ox that he had prepared and set it before them. While he was standing by them under the tree, they ate. Sarah and Avraham were way past, again, the age of being able to produce children. Yet God promises Avraham that it would be through his seed that the nations would be blessed. God was ready to perform a creative miracle resulting in a supernatural birth. Is anything impossible for God? We see a couple of thousand years later, another miracle birth would be manifested, the birth of our Messiah, Yeshua. People scoff who are not believers at a, quote, virgin birth, saying it was impossible. If God can create man from the dust of the earth and breathe life into him, his Ruach spirit, if he can take a rib from his side and create Hava as his helpmeet, if he can speak the world into existence, he can cause the virgin to be a vessel that would produce the Messiah as told in Luke 1:26-35. Do you believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? If you do, then nothing else is beyond possibilities. According to the rabbis, Sarah did not have a womb. Again, this is a midrash, but obviously she was not able, again, at her age to, you know, be able to have a child. Yet through the miracle of intervention, she was able to have a child. Again, is anything impossible for God? Only if you do not believe. With God, all things are possible if you have faith and trust. Who are these men that visited Avraham? I believe, and so do many other Bible commentators, that they were two angels and the pre-incarnate Yeshua. And again, we will go into, let me go on to read, let me see something here. Let me get back here. Okay, let's go on. I don't have these verses here, but I'm going to read again the promised seed Going next to Genesis 18:9, I'll add them to your notes. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" "There in the tent," he said. Then he said, "I will surely return to you in about a year's time. Surprisingly, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah had stopped having the way of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown decrepit, can I have desire and my Lord so old?" Then Adonai said to Abraham, and here we see Adonai is speaking, "Why is it that Sarah laughed, saying, 'Can I really give birth when I am so old?' Is anything too difficult for Adonai? At the appointed time, I will return to you in about a year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. But he said, "No, for you did laugh." Again, we see that, again, a miraculous birth. And again, we're going to see even John the Baptist was a miraculous birth because Zechariah and Elizabeth were not able to have children, but God gave them ability. And then the ultimate miraculous birth is the birth of our Messiah, Yeshua, again, which we read in Luke. So we're going to stop here, and then we're going to continue on. Again, we're going to continue on with our study of angels as part of this Torah portion, but we'll end at this point here. Elvina McCain, our Father, King Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is so powerful that as each of us are listening to it, that you are giving us revelation. You are opening our eyes and showing us things that we haven't seen before. You are giving that understanding that we need, that appreciation that we need for your word. Father, we thank you again that you have left your word for us to read and to study. And thank you, Father, for the angels that you have sent to encamp around about us, as Psalm 91 says, Father, to protect and guard and watch over us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah.